All right, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, okay? We'll be reading from there for our message, the last message of the year. Hope that it will not be the last message we will listen. Let's stand as we read the Word of God, as we give reverence to it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 14. Let's read together the seven verses. Ready, 1, 2, begin. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we know you love us. And we know, Lord, that love is not just expressed in an emotion or in words, but Lord, it's expressed in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross for our sin, to take away our sin by washing away our sins, when he shed his blood. And then on the third day rose again, Lord, to give us strength and power and grace that we might live this life. And Lord, as we hear your word in Philippians 3, as the Apostle Paul shares his heart about how he presses on, I pray, Lord, as we face the end of the year, some, Father, may come to the end of the year with still burdens in their hearts. Some have victories that they want to share. Lord, we all come with different levels of faith. Father, it may be that some group here may have never heard that Jesus loves them. And I pray today will be a day of salvation. That today, Lord, they might find the cross revealed in their hearts. And Father, through your precious word, speak to us, Lord, as we aim to honor you in all the things that we do and say. I pray no one will leave here without something that you have done in their lives. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you will do your work now. Teach us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right, you know, every year we come to the end of the year, it's always a time to reflect on all that God has done for us. Or rather, even in the world, people just sit back and just relax and look back on all the things that have passed. Or some of you have finished your exams, next year exam again. Or some of you, you've gone through certain things this year. We have our joy or joys and happiness, achievements and successes. For some, we also have a share of trials and tribulations, pain and sorrow. Trials, tribulation, pain and sorrow is our share of life. And we go through it. We're still here at the end of the year. In Job chapter 5, verse 6 to 27, I was just looking through this passage and I believe God wants us to hear what he has to say. Job is one of those men who had a bad lot in life. I mean, or rather initially, at one part of his life, things weren't going too good. He lost everything that he owned. He lost his possessions. And also he lost his children, every single one of them. And you know, at the end of the day, this is what he said. I'll just read through the 20 verses. Let the word of God speak for itself. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither does trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God will I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that are low, and those which mourn may be exalted to safety. God disappointed the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as in the night. But God saveth the poor from the sword, from the mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor had hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore, and he will bind up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of the destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones on the field, and the fields of the earth shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy habitation shall be in peace. And thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, in other words, you live long, like as a shock of corn cometh in its season. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou, it is for thy good. If you are a believer in Christ, the trials and tribulations you have gone through, God has just said, I have done everything for your good. Every single thing God did this year was for our good. He will despise our enemies. He will fight back those things that will strike us. We may have gone through hard times. God says, it's for your good. God says, I will set the poor on high. I will make rich the poor. All this, in this one chapter, if you just read it, you find God is such an awesome God. That even in our pain, there is joy. Even in our sorrow, we can find courage. Even in the times of our life that no one cares, God cares. He watches over us. This was spoken by Job, who just went through the greatest loss of his life. The Bible teaches us in Job chapter 1, when he lost his animals, he didn't do anything. It was just a loss. When he lost his house and property, it was just a loss. But when he lost his children, the Bible says he stood up and he bowed down and worshiped. Even in the greatest loss of your life, God says it's for your good. That's our God. You know, believers in Christ, the only reason we are here today is because God is good. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, I invite you to search the scriptures so that you know who this Jesus that we serve. He is real. He created the heavens and the earth. Christ didn't come to set a religion. He came to bring us back to Him. All right? Believers in Christ, your trial and tribulation is the bait which God shares His power and mercy, gives His grace and His strength so that we can have hope to continue and press on. I'm not too sure how many of you here are in Christ. There may be some people who have never trusted Christ. Now, I'm not talking about saying I'm a Christian. Many people say they are Christians. I'm saying about having Jesus in your heart. That you know, you pray, He walks with you, He talks with you. When you read the Bible, He speaks to you, and you have your prayers answered specifically. God just answers some of our prayers as we as a church pray. We thank God for that. All right, and if you want to find out more, I can share with you separately. But, you know, we don't say that we are Christians. We know in our hearts we're Christians. Because Christianity, Christ, is not a religion. It's a relationship with a living God that one day we will see, amen? We will see our Savior face to face. It's just that right now, we are stranded long, far away from heaven. But you know, one day Jesus promised that He is going to come again for us. That's an encouragement. So facing 2019, I'm not sure how many of you are in Christ, but the Bible has the answers for both believers and non-believers alike. Let me ask you, how are you going to face 2019? How many of you know that in 2018 you have already faced so much, that there are trials, there are joys, but you know what? Every year will bring trial. Every year will bring joy. How are you going to face it? got two, I believe God gave us two truths in Philippians chapter 3 of how we can actually press on with confidence in 2019. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. What Paul is saying? Paul is saying, look, if you want to challenge me about what I can boast about, let me show you what I can boast about. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Every Israelite goes through circumcision on the eighth day of their life. And you know why the eighth day? Why not the seventh? Why not the ninth? Why not the sixth? Because at the eighth day, you know what circumcision, right? You know circumcision, right? Okay, it's the circumcision is assigned to Israel. But you know why on the eighth day? You know why on the eighth day? You're a nurse? Any nurses here? You know why on the eighth day? Because the eighth day is the beginning time that your blood is able to be clotted to prevent death by bleeding. Does that make sense? Before the eighth day, the blood can't clot. So when you cut the skin, it's going to keep bleeding until the child dies. But you know what? On the eighth day, the clotting starts. That's why God, in his infinite wisdom, I mean, God is a doctor. He's a healer. He knows. At eighth day, you can actually do your circumcision because the child will be safe. So here, Paul says, I'm circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews. I mean, I'm the cream de la cream. I'm the cream of the top. Hebrews, as touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. In other words, I'm of the strictest sect. Concerning zeal, was persecuting the church. Now, to Paul, when he said this, his zeal was so strong that he was not only happy to live his life, he will get rid of people who oppose God, or to him he's God. Okay? Which in the law, blameless. There is nothing in Paul's life before he became a Christian that you can pinpoint that he was wrong. In other words, he was an extremely, severely religious man. I've spoken to people who are very religious who told me, you know, I have no vices in my life. I don't do anything. You know, I'm a religious man. You know what Paul says? Number one, Paul made his boast in Christ. Or rather, he made his boast. He was proud of his religion. But I wanted to look at his repentance. His repentance. He says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted as loss for Christ. He says this, you know, I was a very religious man. I went to church faithfully. He went to the synagogue, of course. He followed everything that his so-called religion said he has to do. I mean, he was taught by Gamaliel, the top professor of the Jewish synagogue during those days. He said that he was a very diligent student. He was smart. But you know what Paul says? Everything that I've gained in my life, I counted loss for Christ. He repented, and he not only said that, in verse 8, yea, doubtless, I consider all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Paul says, my religion was good, but Jesus is much better because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's excellent. And he says, I do consider but dung. My old religion is now cow dung. That's what it means. It's useless. It is to be flushed down the toilet. You know, and some of you say, Brother Johnny, you know, how dare you say that about my religion? Well, that's what Paul said. You won't find any more religious than Paul during his day. He was of the strictest sect. He did all he can to make sure he was perfect in his religion. But you know, when he found Christ, when he found the Savior of the world, when he found that Jesus Christ could forgive his sin and cleanse him from all unrighteousness, that the Lord's righteousness can be put on him, and he realized, what am I doing with my religion? It is worth nothing but to be flushed down the toilet. Because I've come and found Christ as my Savior. He repented. And in verse 9, and being found, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. The law refers to the Jewish law, the religious law. And then Paul says, look, I would rather be found in him. I don't want this system whereby I've got to work and work and prove myself. I found Jesus Christ, which is of the, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You know, if we are religious today and you follow the teachings of the church, you follow the teachings of the temple, you follow the teaching of all that, you know, that's good. In fact, many people in Singapore say all religions teach good. Yes, they do. But only Jesus Christ brings us to heaven and cleanses us from all sin. You see the difference? I don't know about you. I can do all I can in my religion, but my conscience may never be clear. But when Jesus Christ saved me, he comes into my heart, he washes away my sin, he takes away my sin, and my conscience is clear before the Lord, and I can be free, I can be joyful in the Lord, that in the most terrible of trials, I can still know Jesus Christ walks with me. And this is what Paul is saying here. Paul says, I stop insisting on my own works. I stop being religious. I stop trying to do my best for God, because my best is nothing to God. I depend fully on God that has gained everything for me at the cross, and his righteousness is entirely by faith. Entirely by faith. How do we press on in 2019? Be found in Christ's righteousness. If you are not a Christian today, you need to be found in Christ's righteousness. You know, our religion can teach us good, but the righteousness of God can cleanse me from my sin. That's the difference. That is the difference. You know why many people don't want Jesus Christ? You see, it means so simple, I don't have to do anything, I can get saved? Yes. You know why that's the case? Because you and I cannot do anything to save ourselves. We are so weak. We sometimes cannot even have a proper motivation to go to work. Right? Well, I'm going to go to work today. Well, we ought. If you're really a religious man, you should have proper motivation all the time. Right? But why can't we? Because of sin. We're not the same all the time. Every day we're different because of our emotions, because we are sick. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. I want to understand the effect of the cross. What did Jesus do for us at the cross that Paul is so delighted about? In Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6, and some may say, but Pastor Johnny, you know, good works is important. Oh yeah, it is. But in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, I want us to look at that. The Bible says, But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's not very... Do you know what's the meaning of filthy rags? The word filthy rags means a woman's menstrual cloth. It's filthy. It is rubbish. It is just absolutely disgusting. What we try to do to gain God's favor to God, it is disgusting. Because we are already sinners. I'm already a sinner. There is nothing I can do to gain my salvation, because God says whatever I try to do to win him is not going to work. Because to God, you see, the Bible says because we are sinners, we are already condemned. What can sinners bring to a holy God? What good work can a sinner bring to a holy God to win his favor? Nothing, because we haven't dealt with our sin. Does that make sense? That's why God says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And the Bible goes on to say, in verse 6, we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We are nothing but a useless leaf that the wind blows us away. Or we think in this world we are something when we earn lots of money, we have good careers, we have a happy family. But God says all our righteousness are as filthy rags. It's like the wind. When the wind blows, a dry leaf blows it away. One day you and I are going to face death. We're going to face death. That's real. How are you going to face death? I was just reading today, some of you may know, there was a 26-year-old newscaster in New York who died yesterday. 26 years old. She was found dead in his house, 26 years old, died of meningitis, infection of the spinal cord. Dead. you and I have no guarantee for tomorrow. The fact that we are still alive today, if you're not a Christian, can I encourage you to reflect? The fact that you're still alive is God's grace. Is God having His mercy on your life, that you might find Jesus and His love. For believers in Christ, the reason why God allows you to continue is so that you can draw more closer to Him, not for us to continue in our sin. It's for us to draw the more closer to Him, to be faithful in the things He called us to do. But let's turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Now, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, but notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 to 22. We've just gone through it this year, and hopefully all the lessons, the precious lessons for Romans you will keep. The Bible says in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. Because we're all sinners, whatever we do that is good, it's not acceptable. Example, I'm a pastor. I drive, I give this illustration many times, but for the benefit of those people who are new, I'm a pastor, I drive. If I speed, I get a speeding ticket, right? Okay? So I go to the judge and say, Judge, I don't have to pay. You see, I do a lot of good works. I'm a pastor, don't you know? The judge says, good, you're a pastor, but you still have speed. You have a parking ticket, speeding ticket, you have to pay. If I keep insisting, I'm a pastor, I do so many good works, the judge will say, you're right, you're good, but you have to pay $200 for the speeding ticket. Does that make sense? So what if I'm a pastor if I broke the law? So what? The law will still say, insist that I pay. If I don't pay, you go to jail. So can you see, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, whatever you try to do, no matter how much money you give to the church or help people, to God, it's filthy rags. But in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 20, but now the righteousness of God outside of the law, you see, if we depend on our works to be saved, God says it's not going to work. So you know what God did? Tell you what, God says, I'm going to teach you another way of salvation, which is by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 21, but now the righteousness of God outside of the law is manifested, been witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets who stood for God here was pointing to another system of salvation through Jesus Christ. They didn't even know what they were talking about, except they know there is a Messiah coming. One day we can believe and put faith in Him, and therefore our souls can be saved and our sins washed away. All right, in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. In other words, God says, I don't care if you're a Filipino, I don't care if you're a Singaporean, I don't care if you're Chinese, Indian, I don't care. As long as you put faith, you don't put faith in your system of religion to save you, but you put faith in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That's what God said. That is the system of righteousness in Christ. And it's all 100% by faith, whereby you repent away from your sin and you tell yourself, I'm not going to depend on the works anymore, because my works are all sinful before God. But I'm just going to depend on what Jesus Christ did for me. Oh, He is so precious. That's why I'm not changing religion, by the way. I'm coming back to God. I'm coming back to a God who loves me and gave Himself for me. When we have fully understood the cross, you know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, there were two wonderful things that He said. Number one, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You know what's the second thing? He said, it is finished. You know what it means? It means that every single sin that you and I have ever committed in this life and will commit to the day we die before we see Jesus Christ, when Jesus says, it is finished, the word it is finished is in the Greek term. It is an accounting term. He says every single thing that you will be audited before God has been wiped clean. You are 100% clear. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are 100% clear. God is never going to take up your sin with you anymore, because the moment He sees us, He sees Jesus Christ. He says, I know you are supposed to die for your sin, but because you have accepted the payment of my Son, you are free. You are free. Are you free today in your heart? Are you free in your heart? Or are you still depending on the system of righteousness that the law gives, the works that you do? Look, if you just depend on this, you won't be able to stand before God. Because God says all this law is but filthy rags. But if you would turn away from that sin and say, Lord Jesus, if you died for me, I want you in my heart. How we face 2019, if you're not saved today, you need to be. You need to be. Be found in Christ's righteousness. You can turn from your sin and turn 100% to Lord Jesus Christ, depending on his righteousness by faith. Because the only righteousness that will be admitted in the court of heaven is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when we become Christians, you know what God does? He takes off the robe of sin from our lives and he put on his robe of righteousness. So as we enter into the courtroom of God, God doesn't see our sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. That's what we depend on. You know, Christians, we have nothing to be proud of. We only have to be proud of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who loved us so much. So can I introduce you to him, you to him? Some of you may say, well, Brother Johnny, I've been a whatever beliefs I have been so long, I can't just change. There's always a U-turn. Don't reject the God who loves us so much. Number one, face 2019, be found in Christ's righteousness. But then move on. Let's look at verse 10. Let's turn back to Philippians chapter 10. All right, before I go into Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, all right, Chichi Chingrei and all the children, I want you to pay attention. Huh? Okay, what's the purpose of this? Huh? Purpose is for eating. I can use my hand and eat also. All right? What's the purpose of this? Hank? 用这个做什么? 敲头? 啊? 吃饭啊? 我可以用筷子吃饭啊? I can use my chopstick also. What's the purpose of this one? To do what? To scoop. Okay? Alright, what's the purpose of this? Why did the people make this? So they can show off, right? Put in their garage and don't use it, right? Now, what's the purpose of this? Benjamin, move to a place faster. I can put aeroplane also. Huh? Too expensive, okay. No, it's cheaper than a car. You take a plane, it's only $2,000 airfare, okay. What's a car for? Transportation, to go from one place to another place. Good, what is this for? Huh? To live, to live in, right? A house. What is this for? Why did God make that? Why did God make that for? To give warmth, give light, right? What did God make that for? What did God make that for? For oxygen, okay, for oxygen. Some more? For what? For fruits, huh? Okay, for fruits, okay, don't got no fruits, but also fruit tree, okay? What else? Huh? Shade, what else? Yes, Hank. Make paper, right? What else? What else? What else did God make this for? And I was telling, we are going through the mystery of God's will in the youth camp. You know how awesome God is? One tree can what? Make shelter, yeah. One tree, you got shelter, you got fruit, you can make paper, you can have oxygen. What else? Or, I mean, you can cut off the branch and then put fire and light up. Or, yeah, it can become firewood. I was telling the youth, you know how awesome God is? You know, one tree like that, the creation scientists, that if you harness the atoms of the tree, one tree can light up a city like New York for 5 months. One tree. The scientists have discovered that if you take all the atoms that put the tree together, one tree can light up a city like New York for 5 months. That's our God. That's how awesome God is. And all these things are made for a purpose. Now, I got, what is the purpose of this man? This man was demon-possessed. Today, he's a preacher of the gospel. What is the purpose of this man? He was beaten up because he was a Christian. He's currently in Bible college. What's the purpose of this brother? I think it's written. Did God make them? God made them, right? What's the purpose of this child? God made her, right? If we made a spoon and there's a purpose, if you have the car and there's a purpose, if you made a tree and there's a purpose, if there's sun, moon, and stars and there's a purpose, you made a house and there's a purpose, do you think God has a purpose for her? Parents, it is your responsibility to find out that purpose. Not your purpose, but God's purpose. I don't know about you, God is awesome. God has a purpose for us. The next point, in Philippians 3:12, Paul says this, but not as though I have already attained. Either were already perfect. He's saying, I'm not saying that I've already achieved, I already got what I need to do for God. I'm not perfect, but I follow after. In other words, I'm focused on one thing. If that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? What does apprehend mean? What does apprehend mean? Apprehend means to be arrested. That means by the policeman, a police apprehended the thief. Okay? That's the English phrase, apprehend here. Okay? Paul says that if I may arrest or if I may get that, the purpose of God in my life, if I can get that, for which also I'm apprehended of Jesus Christ. In other words, when Jesus saved me, caught me, got my attention, I put my faith in Christ, God set me for a purpose that I want to achieve that purpose because Jesus Christ caught me for that purpose. Does that make sense? In other words, I don't care who you are. I don't care what social economic state. I don't care whether you're a millionaire or you're the poorest man on earth. God has a plan for you. God even have a plan for the cripple. The Bible says, Exodus chapter 3, the seeing eye, the blind, and the maimed, have I not made them? You see, God is not unkind to make someone cripple because God has a plan. If you make someone cripple and you have no plan for that person, you are wicked. We are cruel. Does that make sense? But God says, I'm going to use even a crippled man for my glory. The Bible says, let's turn to John chapter 8, just in case you think I'm making this up. John chapter 9. You know, sometimes we think that just because we go through, or this happens all the time, in different cultures, they're very superstitious. Once something bad happens to that person, it means that the person has done wrong, right? Look at what John chapter 9 says. Verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That's what we all think, right? If a person has something bad in his life, that person must have sinned. Notice what the King of the universe said. The one who made all things, the creator of heaven and earth. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus answered in verse 3, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Don't care what situation you are in, you may be in the worst situation, God has a plan. Young people, when you grow up, don't seek your own plan, seek God's plan. That's our second point. In 2019, be found in Christ's purpose. Firstly, you need to be found in Christ's righteousness. Because without Christ's righteousness, you and I are nothing. And even with Christ's righteousness, we are still nothing. Our lives can only be what God makes it to be. And parents, our purpose mustn't be found in what we want for our children, but for what God wants for our children. For what God wants in our children. Be found in Christ's purpose. Be found in Christ's purpose. I'll give you two aims in Philippians 3:10, which is a text we have in Philippians 3:10. You can turn back to that. I know, of course, you can look there too. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Number one, God has a plan for everyone. Aim to know Christ. That's the first purpose. Aim as a believer in Jesus Christ to know him. Because when you know him, then you know his purpose. Aim to know him. That's what Paul says in verse 10, that I may know him. The word knowledge of God is not head knowledge only. You need to know about God. But you know, I know my wife. I know what makes her tick. She knows what makes me tick. Because we know one another is an experiential knowledge. It has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. She knows all my faults. And she still loves me. Isn't that awesome? We should, for those who are coming for the family series, that's what we were touching on. All right. But you know, Jesus knows all about our faults and still loves us. That's awesome. That was the mystery of the gospel. Ruth, remember? That God, despite knowing everything sinful about us, still loves us. We need to aim to know Jesus. That's what Paul said there. I may know him. How do I know him? The power of his resurrection. Do you understand what kind of power rose Jesus Christ from the dead? What power on planet Earth can raise someone from the dead? Only God's. So Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to understand the power to live my Christian life. The power that raised up Jesus from the dead must be an awesome power. And Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know what it means to live a victorious, abundant, victorious Christian life. The power of his resurrection. You know, many Christians live subnormal Christian lives. We live in doubt, we live in discouragement. That's not what God wants for us. Every teacher in your college or your universities or in your secondary school want their students to do well, right? Generally, lah. Every teacher wants the students to do well. What makes God different? Why do we always sometimes, not always, but sometimes we underestimate what God wants? God's got an abundant plan. But he wants us to know him. He wants us to know his agenda for us. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, Paul says, and the fellowship of his suffering. The fellowship of his suffering. What is the fellowship of his sufferings? The willingness to die to ourselves. In order for you to learn from your teacher, you've got to be willing to surrender your will to your teacher. Do the homework he asks you to do. Come at the time of the remedial. Buy all the books that's required. Now, these are the small things that we don't even think about. But when it comes to the Christian life, God says the way to know him is to die to ourselves. And that's why Paul says here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, how to live, and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to identify, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ lived for God, he suffered. He had to deny himself. And Paul says, I want to understand what it means to die to myself, just like Jesus Christ died to himself when he lived for us. You know, the last part is very interesting, being made conformable unto his death. It literally means, I want to know Christ to the point that I'm willing to even die like him, even if I'm to be crucified. Paul wasn't crucified. Paul's head got chopped off. His head was chopped off. In other words, he was conformed to Christ's image through death as well. He was obedient to Jesus Christ, even if it means dying like Christ. You know, in our Christian life, we want to know Christ and his blessings, but the way to know God's blessings, sometimes God will pull us through the sufferings. Put it this way. If we have everything nice going for us, we may not enjoy the blessings of God. It's only when we go through the sufferings then we are able to lift our heads and thank God that he comes and helps us. You see, God uses sufferings to bring us to him. Understand this from the Bible. All of God's sufferings is never wasted. God uses sufferings in this life to push us nearer to God. But we have a choice two ways. Number one, to obey that and come near to Christ, or says, I don't want. But you know, it's really hard to resist someone who loves you so much. It's really hard to, I mean, if God has given... I told the youth in the youth camp, God has done everything for you, including down the cross. What else do you want him to do? He showed his love for us. Aim to know Christ. The power is resurrection, and the fellowship and suffering. And number two, aim to fulfill Christ's purpose in your life. Sorry, it's in your life. Let me ask you a question. What is your goal in life, young people? Is it to be like a rock star? Is it to earn lots of money? Is it to study hard? You know, I'm a bit question mark about being like rock stars, but you know, studying hard is not a wrong goal. But what's your goal as a Christian for Christ? If you're a Christian for Christian for Christ, what is your purpose? What is Christ's purpose in your life? What is Christ's purpose in your life? We have to decide that. Parents who make decisions for your children at this time, what is your decision for Christ, decision for your children? What is your purpose for your children? Fathers, can I just throw this in, because that's what the scriptures teach, that your children might live to the glory of God in everything that they do. Everything they do. In other words, when we take a decision outside of that for our children, we need to put it back. Because at the end of the day, it's not what I decide for my children, it's what God wants for our children, that our children ultimately will be blessed. And when our children is blessed, we will be blessed. At 3 years old, one time I was driving past Changi General Hospital. My family was with me, including my mom. That time we were homeschoolers, and so one of my children decided that they don't want to listen to me. And my practice is, if you don't listen to me, I don't care where I am, I will stop the car, move to the side, and discipline that person. And my mom will say, "Ayo, you're still a child, how can you do that?" You know, she's smiling. At that time, you know, she would have resisted, because, I mean, that is her son. That is her grandchild. How dare you punish the grandchild in front of her, right? Today, the grandchildren go and clean her house. She has peace in her heart. You know, sometimes we resist God's best to our own destruction. You know, sometimes God gives us things to teach us that His way is much better than us. But I know right now my mom doesn't complain. No, she could have resisted. Not the purpose in my life as a Christian. I'm not perfect. To bring glory to God. To my family, to the church, to whatever that I do. Not perfect. You know, I keep saying that is because that gives us hope. God is not expecting us to be perfect, amen? But He is expecting us to put Him first, which we can do. Which we can give our hearts to Him. We may not do 100% all the time. If we can only do 80%, which sometimes we do much less than that, you know what God does? He fills up the extra 20%. If we can only do 10%, He will fill up the 90%, as long as our heart is there with Him. As long as our heart is with Him. Thank God for that. Three ways. How do I aim to fulfill Christ's purpose in my life? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Number one, Paul says, we need to forget what lies behind. You need to forget your successes. You need to forget your failures. I used to preach only those two. Now I realize there's so many things people carry along their lives. You need to forget your disappointments, your burdens. You need to forget yourself. Because sometimes your success, you know, if you're quite old and say, "Wow, I remember 10 years ago I do that." You know what? You have 10 years to catch up. That means you're still living 10 years in your successes. You know what's bad? Some people can't forget their failures. And you know what? They stay in the past. Some people can't forget disappointments. How many of you have not been disappointed before? Put up your hand. I see no one, right? Everyone was disappointed before. I was disappointed before. I shared the youth too, with my O-level results. What are burdens? Some of us carry burdens which are not supposed to be carried. You know, Paul says you need to forget them. The word forget, sometimes it's hard. You know one thing? Humans don't forget. They can't. They really can't forget. There was only one instance of real forgetfulness I saw. When there was this lady, upon the death of her husband, God blanked out, and I saw God's grace, God blanked out 6 hours of her memory. She didn't remember what happened because she was so affected by what happened to her husband. They call it amnesia for like 6 hours, and she totally could not remember anything. She's going on in life now. She, you know, both children are married. She's moving on in her life. We cannot forget. The human memory is so powerful. That's why the computers are likened to the brain. Do you know you can't forget, but you can choose not to remember? You can choose and say, I am not going to allow that to affect my progress for Christ from now on. Many Christians allow disappointments, failures, successes to blind them to the future. God says, put it all behind. Paul says, how am I going to achieve God's purpose in my life? To forget the things that are behind. Learn the lessons from there and then press on. Forget the things that are behind. Paul says, that's the first thing I do. And that's his focus. You know, one of the biggest problems with Paul? Two things, pride. And you know he was personally responsible for over 1,000 deaths of Christians. Can you imagine going to a church, preaching to a group of people, and there are 5 of them there where you just murdered the husband or the wife or thrown the children to prison? That was Paul's conscience. He said, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. But it is by the grace of God I am what I am. You see, with God, there's always a second chance. Amen? God's grace is always there for us to press on. So forget the past. But Brother Johnny, it's pain. I know it's painful. I don't understand all the pain, but God does. Amen? None of your pain is as painful as what Jesus Christ went through for us. And Paul, under the inspiration of God, says, by his grace, forget the things that are behind. Press on, number one. Number two, you need to reach forwards. You see, you can forget. If you don't move forward, very soon all the memory will start coming back. You need to take steps of faith. Some of you, in order to forget the past, you need to be baptized and grow in Christ and read your Bible. But you need to take steps forwards. Reach forward to those things which are before. What are those things that Paul is referring to? I mean, the Bible never really say. But you know, it could be godliness, it could be humility, it could be pressing on the salvation of souls, expanding the ministry, God's work, pressing on to what God has for you. Spending time in His presence, say, God, speak to me, what do you want me to do? Reach forward to those things. And number three, you need to press towards the mark. Pressing towards the mark. Make effort to reach the standard God has set for us. The Bible says in verse 14, I press toward the mark. The mark is a standard for the prize of the high calling of God. Does that make sense? All of us as Christians have a high calling of God. And attached to the high calling, there is a prize. And in order to get the prize, there is a standard. And Paul says, I'm pressing on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Does that make sense? And Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness whom the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, but not to me only, but for all those who love his appearing. Paul says on the day of judgment before Jesus Christ, Jesus is going to look at Paul and says, Paul, well done. Well done. You have fought the good fight. You have finished the course. You have kept the faith. Paul says, press toward, make the effort to reach the standard that God has set for us. Some of you, wow, that means in heaven we are going to have a lot of crowns on our head. No, that's the first of the last passage. Revelation chapter 4, after the rapture has happened, we're on in heaven. Round about the throne were 420 seats. And I saw 420 elders clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. There are two words in the Greek for crowns. Number one, diadem. The word diadem refers to a kingly crown. The one that the Lord Jesus Christ had. That's why bring forth the royal diadem. That crowns Jesus as king. The second Greek word for crowns is stephanos. It's a crown that you win by effort. You know what crown the 24 elders were wearing? Stephanos. They have run the race, they have finished the course, they have kept the faith. And they are putting on the Stephanos that God gave to them. The 24 elders represents the church. You know what they do with the crowns? Look at verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that was on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and took off the crowns. I said, God, I don't deserve this. You do. And they cast the crowns before the King of Kings who deserve all glory. Do you know why we live our life faithfully in this earth? So that when we see Jesus Christ in heaven, he will give us the crown. And then with tears in our eyes, we say, Lord, thank you for the purpose you've given to me in my life. And thank you for the grace and the strength you've given to me, God. The crown I don't deserve, you do. And as Christians, we will throw it back to honor the one who died for us and rose again. Does that make sense? That's why we need to know God's purpose. That's why we need to go all out to live for Jesus Christ. Because on one final day, when my eyes close in death, when I awake in my new life, and when I stand before the judgment seat, I want to hear from Jesus Christ, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I am not racing against Brother Henry. I'm not racing against Jeremiah. I'm not racing against my wife. I'm not racing against Brother Gideon. I'm not racing against anyone. I'm racing against the course that God has given to me. Every single Christian have your own course to run. We come together as a church to encourage one another to run faithfully, so that at the end, we will win the crown. Two things. Are you found in Christ's righteousness? If you don't have Christ's righteousness, the Lord wants you to open your hearts to it. Number two, facing 2019, will you be found in Christ's purpose? You see, it may just be as simple as just being faithful in your Bible reading and praying, because the more you do that, you can know God's will in your life. I pray that God will bless you in 2019, but you know what? The only blessing, I can say I bless you, I can't do much. But you know, you need to make your peace with God. You know, if you're not a Christian, the Bible says you're not at peace with God. You're enemies of God. But God says, you know what? When you were enemies, Jesus Christ died to pay the price so that you can come across to him. But you know what? You've got to come to the place and say, my religion's not going to help me. My good works are not going to help me. Only Jesus Christ and his righteousness can save me. You need to come to him. And if you're a Christian, I pray that 2019 will be filled with God's purpose in your life. You know, if we run our own purpose, we will hit a dead end. One of these days, you can be as successful as you can be in this world. You see, God's accountant department counts things differently. Does that make sense? The goal on earth is building materials in heaven. We can have lots of gold everywhere. God uses gold to do what in heaven? Make roads. Gold is building, but jewels are building materials in heaven. Did you know that? Did you know the walls of the New Jerusalem, sapphire, carbuncle, what else? Emerald and onyx stone. They are building materials. The things that we value so much, God uses as construction material in heaven. That should help us to reorientate our value system. May you be found in Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I know I've gone a bit over, but I'm praying for your Holy Spirit to touch us, Lord, with your word. And Father, I do not know what's in the hearts of the people who heard this message. But I know, Lord, your plan for those who have never trusted you is for them to trust you. Oh, Father, I pray none will resist the power of your word. I pray none will go against what you have for them. Father, for believers, I pray in 2019 they will be found in the purpose of Christ. Oh, God, your purpose is so wonderful. When you look at the tree, the creation of the tree, and there's so many purposes that can be, we haven't even harnessed, Lord. We haven't even understood the full extent of of what you can do with a life that's totally committed to Christ. Teach us to press on, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.